Thank the Lord for the specials this morning. Appreciate there's Brother Lewis Williams used to always say, there's a message in every song. And there truly is. There's something in a song that ministers to the soul when it's inspired of God. Those songs that were sung this morning have a great message to each one of us. Because God hears us when we cry to Him, because God saved us, then we have a responsibility to throw out the lifeline to someone that does not know the Lord. And that's a heavy responsibility that each one that knows the Lord this morning should be very aware of, that we would each one be about our Father's business. I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless His Word. You'll turn with me to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. The burden the Lord has put on my heart for this morning is on the marriage feast. We'll find that in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Have a little bit of reading here so we'll get an understanding of the parable that Jesus told. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Now, as we read through this, let's not think of it as just a parable, something that happened way back then, but let's think about it in terms of today, a wedding. A king, a ruler over a nation, and his son is going to be married. And so the son, the king sends out messengers and wants to bid people to come to the wedding. He said again, it said, "And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." The king sent forth, "I want you to come to my son's wedding," and the people that were invited would not come. "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." The response came back, "We're not going to go to the marriage. We're not going to go to the wedding." And the king sent forth another messenger saying, "The dinner's ready. The wedding is going to take place after the dinner, but the dinner is prepared. The sacrifice has been offered, and it's all prepared, and I'm just bidding you come and dine, come and eat. Come join into the celebration." He went on to say, "They made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." They went out, "Will you come to the wedding?" "No, I have some oxen I'm going to go see about. I have some merchandise. The cares of this world, the things that I'm busy with, other things, I don't have time to go to the wedding." What would it be like if you had a son or daughter and they were getting married and you sent out invitations and nobody showed up? Sent out invitations, one person said, "Well, I wanted to go see about my little business over here, and I had something else that I could have done, so I'll just put that off for now." Wouldn't that be an insult? Wouldn't that be a shame to have prepared a dinner? There have been times, I think of a time my mother cooked a very nice dinner for someone. They never showed up. Never showed up. It to all the work and the preparation that goes in to making a meal, and the company never arrives. Why? They forgot, or they had something better to do, and so they just didn't come. Went on to say, "The king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. I sent out an invitation, they did not come, but the wedding is still going to take place. If nobody shows up, my son is still going to get married." He said, "The wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. The ones that were on the invitation list had something better to do. Not better, But they did something that they wanted to do. They wouldn't take the time to go to the wedding, to go to the dinner that had been prepared by the king. So the king said, I want you to go out and whoever you see, any man walking down that street, you invite him to come and get a full meal. You bring them, and I may have the musicians over here and the singers singing songs over here, and we'll have a banquet and a feast, and whoever wants to come and have a good meal, you just go out and get anybody that will come. And after that, the wedding, my son will be married. And they went out and they gathered all that they found. And I want you to take note, it said all. It said both bad and good were invited to this marriage feast. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The man was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. What Jesus was telling about here, it was a parable. Now this was a story, this story that he told was a story that was common among the Jews. It was a story that had been told by others, but Christ put a little bit different twist in it. He was alluding to his own marriage. And he was speaking of God, that God has prepared a banquet for whoever will come. But we know that the Jews were God's chosen people. The Jews rejected Christ. The Jews would not accept Christ as the Messiah and look to Him. In other words, they were turning down the invitation. We're not going to accept you. We're not going to follow Jesus. And so the message went forth, and I thank the Lord for it this morning, that whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. The message was not now just to the Jews. The message was to the Jews and the Gentiles that the Father God has prepared a banquet. His Son is going to get married, and I want you to come and join in. I want you to come and sit at Father's table. How many people in the world today are going their way, and the invitation has gone forth? What is the invitation? It is the gospel message. The sacrifice has been made. And I can't help but think, yes, that Christ was the one that was getting married, but we know that that was made available to you and I because Christ was crucified. Because Christ offered Himself as a sacrifice that you and I might have true salvation. And the gospel message went forth to everyone that said, come and find joy, get your stomach filled up. How many people out there in the world today that are in the highways and the hedges, living under the bridges and the missions, don't have a place to call home? How many people need what would like to sit down at a good meal? Like to sit down at a place that I can get up from that meal and be satisfied and go into that wedding and join in and be a part of the wedding ceremony? Well, the Church of God is the Bride of Christ. We find here that a wedding, what is a wedding all about? It is a union between two people. And it is a union that is ordained of God, that is sacred. It is a holy institution. It is something that as a marriage works correctly, you will see abiding peace in that place. You will see a place where they get along, working together. A perfect union. But I think of the union before this. Do you remember Adam and Eve and their relationship that they had with God? We read about in Genesis how God came down and He communed with them. He walked with them in the garden. We know that God made man after His own likeness. He made man in His own image. There was a union there, folks. Adam and Eve had a marriage with God. They had a union with God. There was no sin to separate. And God communed with them. And I can just envision Adam and Eve walking in the garden, and here comes God. And Adam and Eve are telling Him, well, Lord, we saw what You created today. We saw a bird that we'd never seen before. And how beautiful was the creation, the peace and the joy that they had. No sin. No temptation, no problems, no people problems, no trials. What a beautiful relationship. But then we find that because Adam and Eve turned their back on God, they denied God, and they allowed the enemy to take advantage of them. They allowed the enemy to take advantage of them. Folks, one little point here, the devil cannot make you do anything if you're saved this morning. If you are saved and living for God, we have victory over the devil. There are people this morning who are striving to serve God, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but people who are striving to serve God that do not have the experience. But if you have the experience of salvation this morning, you are married with Christ. And there is a union and a relationship there that the devil cannot take away. But we find that sin separated Adam and Eve. God had something else in mind. When Adam and Eve sinned, God looked on and He was very displeased. And He wanted a way that He could be reunited. He wanted to reinstate the union. He wanted to reinstate the relationship that He had had with man. And so, He sent Christ. He sent Christ to die on the cross. The reason was He wanted us to come back into the image of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they deviated from that image. They deviated from living the way that God wanted them to live. And so it is through Christ this morning that people who are lost in sin can once again become in the image of God. That union, that marriage was reinstated. And so when Christ came, the gospel message went forth. The Jews rejected Him. The ones that He went to, they had an excuse. Behold, my oxen. I'm going to go and see about my oxen. I'm going to go see about some other things. Folks, people are getting, this still holds for people today. Getting so wrapped up in this world, folks, we need to work and provide for our families. But I want to tell you something. If it is going to be to the detriment of your family, spiritually speaking, and to yourself, you need to cut back and do whatever it takes to put Christ first in your life. Because there are people today who have heard the gospel message. It's gone forth, and they said, no, I have some other things that I need to do first. I have some other things that I'm involved in. Folks, when people use their jobs as an excuse not to be doing for God what they ought to be doing, God is not in it, and God will not bless you in doing that. And you may look on your job and say, well, the Lord's really providing, folks. God's not in it. It does not matter how much money you're making. If it is to your detriment spiritually, God is not in it. And God, the message went forth. I want you to come to this dinner. I want you to come and get your stomach filled. And this was not speaking physically. He's speaking now of a spiritual satisfaction that you can find when you heed the gospel message. There is a lot of truth that we have in this Bible this morning, and many people are finding parts of it and saying, well, I have some other things that I want to do. I don't want to submit to that. I don't want to yield to that. Well, you go on your way, but you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. The gospel message will still go forth. And the invitation is still this morning. If you are not saved, I encourage you in the fear of God, don't make excuse, but recognize that this is the most important thing in life. That we be to that banquet. That we go to that marriage. That we be joined with Christ. Then we find part of that dinner. He said the dinner is ready. You know that dinner is something that each one of us can experience here on this earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to eat, partake of this dinner. This dinner here is salvation from sin. Ability to overcome yourselves. Ability to overcome your genetics, your genes, the way that you are. Come eat of this dinner and overcome who you are. Come eat of this dinner, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and go forward with power and might and strength. It's found at the dinner. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to live a holy life. This is what this dinner is for. It's to give us strength. It's to give us strength to go on, to give us power. Part of the benefits of sitting down and eating of this meal is that when we get in trouble, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. When we have a need, when I realize, Lord, it's too great for me, part of sitting at this dinner, this banquet, is that I have someone greater than I am to turn to and say, Lord, I need some help. And God is going to be there every time for you if you will put Him first in your life. Not make excuse, not justify, but you go on and join and eat of this dinner. Remember, many people turned Him away. And there are people this morning who are saying many of these same things. I don't have time right now. I'll do it later. And you're missing out. And the Lord is still calling. I want you to come to this feast that I prepared. He gathered all the people together, it said, both good and bad. The message of salvation, I'm thankful, is not just to the rich people. It's not just to the educated people. It's not just to the people that we might look on in a natural sense and it seemed like they're quite a bit above us. No, the message went out to the people in the highways, in the hedges. The people that didn't have anything themselves. The people that I don't have anything to justify it. None of us are worthy to attend this wedding feast. But yet, all were gathered together, good and bad. And the message of salvation is not just to the people in America. There are times I feel like we think that we're the central church of God. No, the message of salvation is to every tongue and every race and every nation. And there are people who are serving God that we know nothing about because the message was to the whole world. The message was not to my little elite group, but the message was out to everybody who would heed the invitation and say, Lord, I want to go to that wedding. I want my belly filled. I want those spiritual blessings. I want to overcome who I am. Folks, you need to overcome who you are this morning. And you can do it when you sit down at Father's table. But yet, He gathered them all together, good and bad. The message are to the ones this morning that you look on their life and you see grievous sins. You look on people's life this morning and they're not treating you right and they're not acting like they ought to act. Folks, the message of salvation is to them. We need to understand that I am not high and mighty because my righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. It is not me. It is not who I am. But it is because I came and ate at Father's table. Because the blood was applied that I can go forth with power. And I look on someone's life and I see need in them. Lord, help me not to condemn. Lord, help me not to be there to cut them off. Because as the song was sung, throw out the lifeline. Who is better qualified this morning than someone who has eaten at Father's table? But I fear the morning the enemy would like to come in among us and help us once we're at the wedding feast to look out on the world and say we're the only ones. The message was just us, folks. The message was to all people. The message is to your neighbor who's giving you problems. What kind of an example, what kind of a witness are you manifesting to them? Are you showing them the life that this is what happens when you eat at Father's table? This is the marriage feast. Will you come and join me? The invitation is to you too this morning. At the wedding feast, Jewish wedding feast, and this is very important for us to understand this. At this time when a king or a ruler would invite people to a wedding, he would give them clothes to wear. The king did not want just people coming in wearing anything they wanted. You look over the crowd this morning and everybody's wearing something different. That would not be acceptable to a king. When you were invited to his feast, the marriage of his son, the king would provide you with a set of clothes. And those clothes were the wedding garments that we read about. And when everybody was invited, come and sit down at this table of salvation, of sanctification, of living a holy life. And you come and you yield yourself, you heed the invitation, and I'm going to give you a new set of clothes. What a blessing. I can take off the old rags. If I don't have much, it doesn't matter because all I have to do is heed the invitation. All I have to do is say, Lord, I want to go and partake of that feast. And there is a new set of clothes for you. Well, there was a man that came. He heard the invitation. I believe all of us this morning have heard the invitation. We've all heard, come to the wedding feast. Some, I'm sure this morning, have probably said, well, I don't have time. There are some other things that I want to do. But my burden that the Lord has placed heavily on me this morning is to that man that heard the message and he came to the wedding. The man who heard the invitation, he thought, well, I'm hungry. I want something good to eat. I want to go and enjoy myself at this celebration. And he went there, and it said the king came out and he looked over the guests, and they were all wearing the wedding garments. But he saw one man. He said, friend, where's your wedding garment? My servants offered you a wedding garment. When you came, when you heard the message and you came, they were at the door. We were there with a new suit of clothes for you. Why don't you have them on? He said the man was speechless. Do you know that in the last days the Lord is going to come and He's going to walk these aisles? The Lord's doing it this morning. But at the last day, the Lord is going to come right before the marriage. Now we are married with Christ. When we heed the invitation, we are married with Christ, but we're going to be married and united with Him eternally when He comes back for His children. And He is walking the aisles this morning, and I want you to ask yourself, are you wearing your wedding garment? There are people who will grow up. There are people that will come from the highways and the hedges that hear the invitation, and they want to be at the banquet. They want to be the spread that we have right here on this earth. They want to be around where God's blessing. They want to be around where the Spirit of God is moving. And yet they fail to put on a new change of clothes. They fail to be changed in their experience. And this man was speechless. When you stand before God, when He comes back for you, and you do not have the experience of salvation, and to put on the clothes, what kind of garments? Garments of salvation. Clothes of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but righteousness of God. There is a place, again, that it's all going to be revealed in the last day. And I would that we would each one this morning, it does not matter how long you profess to be saved. It does not matter where you got saved or when you got saved. It does not matter where you live. It does not matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter how saved they were. What matters this morning is the life that you are living and the attributes that are in your life. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you wearing the garments, the wedding garments that God has provided? When we look into the Scripture and see, we know that God's provided a great banquet for us this morning. If you have, God will be there for you. But there are people that are amongst us, that are amongst people who are saved, that kind of draw from the blessings because God's blessing the brother over here. You know, you get a house full of saints, and I don't say saints lightly. I say people who have the wedding garments on, who love their brother, who forgive, who are long-suffering, who are patient, who are meek. Those are true saints of God. You get a room full of saints of God and one person in there that's not saved. You know that person's going to find some blessings there. Do you know that that individual, yes, there are times they'll be miserable because they don't have it, but there are going to be times that they're blessed because God is blessing that group of people. But yet, when God walks the aisles, He sees who's not wearing the wedding garment. And I cannot perceive, I do not have the wisdom, the discernment this morning to be able to look in everyone's heart, but this wedding garment is not the outward apparel. The wedding garment is an inward change in the heart. It is that, Lord, I have put You first. Lord, I am manifesting the graces of Christ in my life. Let's turn to Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians in the 4th chapter, we'll begin reading with the 21st verse. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, now what are these wedding garments? That ye put off concerning the former conversation in the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You hear the invitation? come and take off the former conversation, the old way of living, the old way of thinking, the times that you didn't forgive, you forgive now. The times that you couldn't find it within yourself to love someone and to be patient and to pray for them, you put that off. And now you find the grace to do that. He went on to say, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Folks, may it not be that we've heard the gospel message this morning. May it not be that we've heard the truth through the years. And yes, we say it's true, but we fail to put off the old man. That we fail to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Folks, I believe this morning that this message, I believe it's to all of us, but I believe there are some folks this morning that God is wanting to renew your spirit. He's wanting to renew the spirit in your mind. Because when you come and eat at Father's table, you're going to be blessed. When you come and eat at Father's table, you're going to love and forgive. You're going to be long-suffering. You're going to be patient. Why? Because this is the wedding garment. This is the new set of clothes that I got when I went to that wedding. He went on to say here, and that ye put on. You put off the old man. You put off the old way of living. And he said, and ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Where did we lose out? Sin separated man from that union that they had with God. And now Jesus came, and He came, and there's a plan now to reinstate each one of us to stay in an image of God. And that's why He said here, which after God is created in righteousness. This righteousness is not my idea. It's not my opinion. It's not the way I was raised. This righteousness, it comes from God. That is what we need to put on. And He said, and true holiness. Folks, that man that went to that wedding feast, you know, if you ask him if he was a guest at the wedding, and if he was partaking, he'd say, yes, I sure am. I heard the invitation, the servants came along and invited me, and I went and I joined right in with the celebration. Well, he was a hypocrite. That man was someone who came as the old way. He had the old habits, the old way of living, the old lustful, carnal, fleshly, selfish, proudful self. That's what he had. That was his humanity, and he failed to put on that wedding garment that God had offered. Now there are people this morning say, well, I can't do this. I've been struggling. The answer is, get it from God. You can't put it on yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You can't love everybody in yourself. It's going to take from changing your clothes. It's going to come from putting on the cloak of righteousness, putting on the true holiness. The word true, by definition, it said a reality. Integrity. Consistent. Not a holiness that's up and down. Not a holiness that today I say I'm wearing my wedding garment and I'm a saint of God and I'm in the church of God. No, this is a true holiness. A holiness that day by day, regardless of the trial, regardless of the temptation, I'm standing true. When people speak evil about me, I'm there with love and long-suffering and patience. Consistent. The word holy means devoted. It means entirely. It means sacred. The new set of clothes that has been offered to all of us this morning, you can find true holiness. True holiness. Are you sacred this morning? You examine your own life. Are you sacred? Are you wholly devoted to Christ? Well, this man here, he didn't have it. He professed to be a guest. He professed to be a partaking. But when the Lord came, when the King came out, He said, why don't you have your wedding garment on? Folks, there are people who will know the truth, who will stand before God, that are right in our midst, that have been in our midst for years and years and years and know what the truth is. And God's going to come and you're going to stand before God the judgment and He's going to say, where's your wedding garment? You heard the invitation. Where's your wedding garment? What kind of clothes are you wearing this morning? What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? went on to say, let's just turn and read in Second Peter, in the first chapter, thinking about this reinstatement to the nature of Christ. 2 Peter, in the first chapter, in the third verse, he said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You want to truly partake this morning of that banquet that's set before us so that you might be married to the Lamb? We read about the church as being what? Being without spot and without wrinkle. Being blameless. Folks, the church of God is holy this morning. The church of God is filled with individuals who have on their wedding garments of righteousness of God. Why? Because they are partakers of the divine nature. I want you to look at your life this past week, okay? Would you do that for me? For yourself, for the Lord? Would you look over how you've acted this last week? Think about the different interactions that you had with people. Think about the problems that you had. Think about the trials, the things that bothered you. Whose nature was coming out? Was it your nature? Or was it a divine nature? Because I'm eating at Father's table. Because I heard the invitation, I came, I yielded myself, and the Lord gave me a new set of clothes. I'm not the man that I used to be. I don't think the same way. I don't act the same way. It's more than a profession. This is a day-by-day experience that we must each one have if we want to be found worthy. The Scripture, we won't take the time to read it. The 19th chapter of Revelation talked about the white linen that the saints wore, and it said it was the linen was the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness. That was the wedding garment that this man failed to have put on. In 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 7th verse, he said, little children, let no man deceive you. I want you to think about this man that came to the wedding feast. Now, he had been offered. The Lord didn't just come by and throw him out, folks. He had been offered a new set of clothes, and he said, no, I don't want them, but I want to be in the feast. I want to eat, and then I want to go to the wedding. But he said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as Christ is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Let no man deceive you this morning. If there's sin in your life, you don't have on your wedding garment. There is a place for seeking God. When something happens, and I know, Lord, I need to forgive, and I take it to God, and I pray, and I commit it, that's one thing. But when I allow an attitude to stay there, and I'm not seeking God for the grace, I'm not looking to God for the help, that's sin. You don't have your wedding garment on. He said, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, this is the reason the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil, not just in heaven, but in this life, this table. That's where the works of the devil are destroyed. He said, whosoever is born of God, whosoever has on their wedding garment, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Folks, you may hear the invitation, and you may go to the wedding. You may go to the dinner. You're not going to make it to the wedding. You may go to the dinner, but when the Lord comes, He's going to find you without your robe on. He said here, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. When you have on the garments of salvation, when you have on that true holiness, that wedding garment, folks, there is going to be grace for every trial. There is going to be grace for every need. There is going to be victory in everything that we face. The Scripture said, how do we know we have the wedding garment on? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, well, yes, I'm wanting to go to the wedding feast, but there are some things I'm not willing to do. You don't have your garment on. The Scripture said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means every commandment that is in the Bible this morning. If you have the wedding garment on, you are going to be obeying and be obedient to every commandment. And if you are not, and you have knowledge of it, folks, this is a warning. You do not have your wedding garment on. And if you fail to put it on while there is opportunity, God is going to come back, and He's not going to have mercy. The Scripture says the king came out, and he said, why don't you have your garment on? Weren't you given one? The man was speechless. One, the translator talks about in the translation that his mouth was muzzled. He couldn't say anything, because he knew that it was there available. Remember the parable of the tares and the wheat? The Lord let them grow up together. The tares and the wheat. And I thought about that and thought about those tares in that wheat field. And again, this man that didn't have the wedding garment on was around people that had their garments on. Now remember I said he's going to get some of the blessings from them just because God is blessing someone else's life. You know, if you go out and you irrigate your wheat, you know what else gets water? The tares. You know, if you go out there and you fertilize and you put on in pesticides or whatever you do to wheat, you know, when you go out there and give them the nutrients and fertilizing, you know what else is getting fertilized? The tares. Do you know that tares amongst God's people, they begin to think that they're wheat? Those tares in that parable, it really is talking about degenerate wheat. Wheat that is not growing. It's crippled. It's handicapped. It's not growing. They don't have their wedding garment on. There are people who know the truth this morning, again, that are in our midst and that are other places, that pretty soon they're around everybody that has their wedding garments on. And pretty soon, I'm one of y'all. I have mine on too. And some of your characteristics, maybe they begin to wear off on me too. Maybe when something goes wrong, maybe I can act saintly too. But folks, that's my righteousness. That's from me. That's my willpower. That's just because I'm acting in a way that's good. Folks, there are good moral people that don't have their wedding garments on. And I want you to know the wheat and the tares growing up together. May the Lord help us to have our wedding garments on. The Scripture in Luke in the 13th chapter talks about when God comes back, He said there will be people that say, Lord, we ate with You. We drank with You. We sat down with You. We sat at Your table. And now You won't let me into the wedding. Why is it? Because you didn't put your wedding garment on. Yes, you came to service. Yes, you went away maybe being blessed. Yes, you went away thanking God for the things that He'd done for you. But do you have your wedding garment on? Living a life of purity and holiness. True righteousness, true holiness. The Scripture ended in Matthew by saying, many are called, but few are chosen. The Lord has called, we know the Lord has called all of us this morning. He said the message went out together, whosoever will come, partake of this. And I want to leave this with you this morning. If you're not saved, don't put it off. If you've used excuse and justified why you shouldn't, there is going to come a time the Lord is going to come back and you're going to be found without your garment. But I find almost even worse than those who have just said no, those that are right here among us. Those that know the truth and have come and sat down at the Father's table. Those that have come and sat down at the table where everybody's wearing their wedding garment, saying, I'm one of you. When the Lord comes back and He says, where is your wedding garment? The Lord has offered it to each one of us this morning. And I would ask you, don't depend on how long you've been saved. Look at the fruit in your life. Do you have your wedding garment on this morning? Amen.